Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to welcome each of you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We greet you in Christ most holy and Christ most precious, precious name. Amen. I love what Peter said in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're going to be saved, it's through Jesus, the Lord Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, we're less than 2 weeks out from Hear the Watchman Conference in Dallas-Fort Worth. I would love to see many of you there, but I'm understanding and well aware that many cannot make it. So, hearthewatchman.com, if you'll go there, you can get the live video streaming for $29.95 all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's a heck of a deal, if you ask me, $29.95. It takes money, to put all of this technology together, to have the live video feed, but if you cannot come and you want to share and participate, which I believe is going to be a great, tremendously anointed meeting, then go to hearthewatchman.com and go to the website and register to get the live video streaming, just $29.95, heck of a deal, basically $10 a day. If you were to travel there, motel, food, expenses, etc., it would be far, far more expensive in doing that. So if you cannot come, but you want to participate and be there with us, I invite you to log on to the live streaming portion of hearthewatchman.com, and I know that it will bless your heart and bless your life immensely. I'll be leaving myself next Wednesday to go there and be there. We're expecting a tremendous move of the Holy Ghost. We've been praying each Monday in a conference call, all those who are working in the meeting, and we're believing God because many people have been fasting, many people have been praying. Of course, my wife and I fasted a lengthy period here in January, and we're believing God to reward us for our work and labor of love. And we invite you to continue to pray, continue to fast. That's what we're going to be talking about today on our radio program, Prayer and Fasting. Why? Those are the only two things that are going to change America. If you think Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, God forbid, Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders, if you have somehow in your mind thought that we can put somebody in office that's going to change the tenor and the tone and the atmosphere of this nation, you're gravely, gravely mistaken. I was sitting here reading my Bible before the program for the last half hour or so, and we have a leap year this year because there were 29 days in February, so it's termed a leap year because of the leap month and that one day, 366 days in the Gregorian calendar. And I don't know, but I just sense in my heart that judgment was delayed, postponed for a year. Now, of course, God does whatever he wills. In the Hebrew Jewish calendar, you have a leap month. That month is known as the Adar. It falls between Adar, that's the last month of the year, and Nisan is the first month of the Jewish Hebrew calendar. But every 2.7 years, you add a leap month. You add a leap month because they go by the lunar calendar. And so to keep their calendar synchronous, every 2.7 years, you add 30 days to stay in that correct cycle. Many years ago, in my studying of the scriptures, I questioned the 1260 days, of course. Then it said 1290 days in Daniel chapter 12. And of course, through much study, I come to understand that in a 42-month period, or 3.5-year period, or time, that's one, times is two, now we have three, half a times, 3.5 years, you're going to have a 2.7-year period in that parenthetical time frame of 3.5 years. So there will be a leap month added to that year, which is every 2.7 years. So in that 3.5-year period, you're going to find a leap month added to the Jewish Hebrew calendar, and that's where you come up with the 1290 days versus 1260. I won't get into the 1335 number there today, but there is a leap month in the Jewish calendar, and we have a leap year here in America. And I was just thinking today, did God move judgment out 1 year as a leap year? I don't know. But I do know that lawlessness over the last 7 years has grown exponentially. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Now, the word iniquity in the Greek, of course, is lawlessness. Number 458 in your strong, exhaustive concordance. And because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold or sustain spiritual hardship. Needless to say, we have witnessed now well over 7 years a plethora of lawlessness from the Obama administration. Now, I know I'm going to make some people mad here, but Obama is not the Antichrist. He is Antichrist, but he's not the Antichrist. You say, how can you say that? Well, because of what the Bible teaches me. You've heard me quote this passage many times, but many people hear the Word of God, but they don't listen to the Word of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Notice what Paul said. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Now, Obama says two things. Well, let me correct that. Obama says one thing. I am a Christian. Well, that's a lie. Fruit of the Spirit is not manifested that demonstrates his Christianity. He's a Muslim. His name is Muslim. He keeps the Muslim ordinances. But Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, I want you to get this, who opposeth and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. The Antichrist will exalt himself above Christianity, Islam, Judaism, or anything that's worshipped, so that he as God This man is not going to just be any man. He's going to emphatically declare, I am God. I am God. He's not going to be Christian. He's not going to be Hindu. He's not going to be a Mormon. He's not going to be a Jew. He's not going to be a Muslim. He's going to be a man who's after the working of Satan, Paul said. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This man is going to oppose all that is called God or that is worshiped. Now, what God he describes or declares himself to be, we're not exactly sure, but in Daniel 11:38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Now, I don't know exactly what he will claim, whether it's just pure military might or what, once these 10 kings give him their power. Well, he subdues 3, and then the other 7 give him their power. But it says in Daniel 11:37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Obama's father was a Muslim. He was a Muslim. The Bible says the Antichrist shall not regard the God of his fathers. This is where some people think he's a Sodomite, because it says, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god. That's why I quoted 2 Thessalonians 2:4, because Daniel says the exact same thing, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Let me quote it again, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposeth and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I got people telling me all the time, there's no going to be no real temple built in Jerusalem. Then Jesus misled us in Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and then in most Bibles it has in parentheses, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Jesus speaks of Daniel's book when he's addressing the end time events. See? So, the Antichrist does not either make a covenant with Israel. He confirms one, another misconception, misnomer, misrepresentation of the truth. Daniel 9:27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. It doesn't say he makes a covenant. Look up the word confirm in the Hebrew. It says to strengthen. That's why in my first book I put the picture of Bill Clinton, Yitzhak Rabin, Yasser Arafat. Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat are shaking hands. What are they doing? They're making a covenant. Bill Clinton stands behind both men with his arm around Yitzhak Rabin, his arm around Yasser Arafat. And what is Bill Clinton doing? Bill Clinton is confirming their covenant. You know, I one of the gentleman that helps me with my books, Douglas Small, great, great man of God. I love him to death. He said, you point out so many nuances, David, when you're writing that are just totally overlooked. People just don't get it. But the Bible is clear. He, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And then in the midst of the week, that's why we have no idea who this man is until he breaks the covenant. See, he's confirming it or reinforcing it. But he will then walk into the temple and will stop the daily sacrifice. Israel will have the privilege to go back and to make sacrifice. Now, I know the Greek word naos, N-A-O-S, that we are the temple of God. I can quote 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17. Know you not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? If any man defile the temple, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Do you have an altar in your temple? No. You may have a spiritual altar, but you don't have a physical altar in your temple. You may have an altar in your study, your bedroom, something of that nature, but you don't have a literal altar. The Church of the Living God does not have a literal altar. Now, years ago when I was a little boy, some of you will remember the old wooden altar benches in front of the pulpit. I remember as a kid growing up seeing some of these old altars, and they would be just a wooden bench, and then somebody would carve and do the woodwork in front of it saying, Jesus saves. Some of you listening to me, you remember those old wooden altars, and on the front of the altar it would say, Jesus saves. Well, Revelation 11 and 1, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. The angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out. You are a triune being. I would not argue that, body, soul, and spirit. But you, they're not three physical places in your life. And there's an altar. And there are those that worship therein. And then there's the court which is without the temple. Leave out and measure not. It's given to the Gentiles. Since Yitzhak Rabin's assassination, the Vatican got greatly involved. As a matter of fact, when Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, John Paul went to Leah Rabin, Yitzhak's wife. He told Leah Rabin, Jerusalem must become an internationalized city. It must be a capital of three faiths. Those faiths are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. The truth is, Abraham fathered all three of those. Abraham was the father of all three. Jewish, Christianity, Islam. How God let him do that, I have no idea. I'd be a liar if I said I understood that. I know he got in the flesh, and he had Ishmael through Hagar, who was the bond servant, the bond woman, Galatians chapter 4, and she has no right to the inheritance. We're not the bond servants. We are servants of the free man through Abraham, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we're not bond servants. And Paul makes that very clear. If you want to go back and read the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, you will see that. See? Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. See? The one that was of the bondmaid, or Hagar, was born after the flesh. That's why God prophesied in Genesis that Ishmael would be a wild man. His hand would be against every man. But Sarah's and Abraham's child was by the promise. The promise. See? And so what happened? The Bible said, God said, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So Paul went on to say, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Whom the son has set free is free indeed. Now, lawlessness is becoming rampant in this nation. It's out of control. This is why only prayer and fasting is going to change the spiritual atmosphere. We, you know, God have mercy on us, and he's had untold amounts of mercy on all of us in this nation. But Genesis 6 and 4 said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Excuse me, Genesis 6, verse 3. My spirit will not always strive with man. God won't keep contending with a people or with a nation to get right. He won't do it. There's a time and a place that when, once men reach that, God severs that opportunity. They're cut off. As I said yesterday, they become reprobates. They're void of judgment. They're cut off. When they die, they go straight to hell. It's over with, even in this life, even on this side of eternity. Once you become a reprobate, you're judged. Your mind is void of judgment. God's done judged you. You can't discern your left hand from your right hand. You have seared your conscience. We all witness the circus of this political season. I do not see wisdom. I do not see understanding. I do not witness discernment. I do not witness maturity. I witness childishness. Solomon said, foolishness is found in the heart of a child. It's as though these are children wanting to be the president of these United States. And, of course, Trump has merely tapped into the frustration, the bitterness, the hatredness of the establishment. See? And we've witnessed 7 years plus of profuse lawlessness, and reaping time is now due. Some of you will remember George Wallace, an assassination attempt on his life that failed. A man shot him in the back at a rally at a meeting and paralyzed George Wallace from his waist down till the day he died. Now, I'm concerned. I'm concerned profusely for Donald Trump. You see, not only in politics, but in religion, men will murder you because they're of the seed of Cain. They're of the seed of Satan. Cain slew his brother Abel. Why? Because he was of the wicked one. See? 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Evil men have no problem murdering. That's why John went on to say in 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. In politics and in religion, men will kill you. I've shared this before, I'll share it again. John chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, what has Lazarus done that's so evil? Absolutely nothing. He just received a miracle from God. But in John chapter 12, because of the resurrection, the Jews, some of them were beginning to embrace Jesus, the Lord's Christ, and that threatened the political arena of the Jewish hierarchical government in the so-called religion. But in John 12 and 9, Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now watch this. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus because of the miracle and the testimony of Lazarus. The Jews, some of them, were starting to put true faith in Jesus, the Lord's Christ. So not only are they seeking to kill Jesus, now they're going to kill Lazarus. I'm simply telling you that the world, the spiritual realm and sphere wherein these evil politicians and religious leaders live, they have the propensity and the seed of Cain to slay men and kill men. And, of course, they think nothing of it. I mean, they think nothing of killing men. It's just part of doing business. Now, I've been very quiet on this subject for months. I don't know how long ago it was, 4, 5, 6 months, or even maybe longer. The Mexican drug lord El Chapo said he was going to murder Donald Trump. Now, how apropos, how convenient for this Mexican drug lord. And remember, Donald's going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. How convenient would it be for something to happen to Mr. Trump and the blame be placed on the Mexican drug lord? They tell me these drug lords and these world criminal leaders do a lot of business inside the prison. They tell who to assassinate, who to kill, what deals to make, etc., 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 while they're still incarcerated. You see, we as Christians, we don't live in that realm. We don't live in that sphere. As a Christian, you're to pray, you're to fast, you're to seek God. Jude said, keep yourself unspotted from this world and keeping yourselves in the love of God. I don't want to be in the inner circle. See? Jude, verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God. The Lord showed me some time ago why he never allowed me to get in the inner circle of the Church of God denomination. In politics, in church denominations, you elect officials and board members. And early on in my ministry, every department, I would get so many votes. And I would always fall short. Starting out, I would be in the mix. But then, you have to have so many votes to make the board. My name would start going down. And God said, I kept you on the outside, because had you gotten on the inside, you would have become politically correct and I could not have shown you and reveal things to you. See, true men and women of God are never on the inside. They're always on the outside. Why are they on the outside? Because they can look at the denominational leaders and say, you're taking your denomination the wrong way. As a matter of fact, I just got the Master DVDs back today. I will have them in Dallas, the DVDs and the CDs, on my series, Denominational Chaos and the Storm Euroclydon. I do a complete exegesis on the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. I will show you things there that you're never going to read in a book anywhere. Things that God has revealed to me. 3 1-hour DVDs, 3 1-hour CDs. But God said, I never let you get on the inside because you get corrupted. You become, quote-unquote, politically correct. So even though I was on the outside and never got on the inside, I was always a thorn in their flesh, critical of the way the church was going as the denomination. And so when I took my year sabbatical in 2000, actually 2001, after my mother, my daddy, and my grandmother all died in a period of just 45 days. My grandmother died on February the 4th. My mother died on February the 22nd. Then my daddy died on March the 18th. And having built the church and a Christian school and local radio, TV ministry, etc., after the year of 2000, I decided to take a year off. I didn't know that was God's way of actually getting me out of the denomination entirely. That's how I got out. Because when I tried to come back after my sabbatical, all the doors shut on me. All the doors shut on me. But God showed me, I have to do this. I have to do this. And so now we're reaching far more people, ministering to far more people. We're just totally non-denominational, Pentecostal in heart and spirit, and absolute fundamentalist in the Word of God in its entirety. The system is going to ultimately be brought down in some parts of denominations. But there's going to be the ecumenical movement, the great whore. There's going to be another church, quote-unquote, but it's the harlot. It's the whore church. It's not the body of Christ. It's the whore that rides the beast, Revelation 17 and 5. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This is the harlot church. And what will she do? She will ride the beast. The beast government will carry the harlot church. Revelation 17, verse 7. This government, corrupt government, will allow this corrupt, harlot, whorish church to ride on its back. They will be synchronous. They will be hand in hand. Your job is to fast and pray that you do not get caught up, entangled, entwined with this world and the cares of this life. That's your job. That's why you must fast and you must pray. You see, I believe there are going to be pockets of revival in America. I believe that. You're not going to transform denominations in their totality back to Christ because they are all becoming absolutely corrupt. It's sad. It's pitiful. They're embracing sodomy, same-sex marriage, transgenders. I mean, everything that's an abomination, these denominations are embracing. They're embracing. It's evil. It's vile. It's wicked. And you're going to have to labor. You're going to have to strive arduously to keep yourself in the love of God. Because Jesus said, and because iniquity or lawlessness will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. If you don't fast and pray and keep your body in subjection, you too will become a castaway. Now, I know I have those out there who listen to me do not believe you can lose your salvation. Paul preached that he himself could lose his own salvation. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or a reprobate. But I keep under my body and bring it into what? Subjection. How do I get my body in subjection? Through prayer and fasting. That's how I keep my spiritual temperament correct and in the right place and the right perspective. If I do not fast, if I do not pray, I lose my spiritual edge. I lose the anointing. I don't lose the calling. Romans 11:29, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God never makes mistakes, but men lose their edge because they become carnally minded and they are no longer spiritually minded, and they lose the edge and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The purer that a person becomes, the greater the fluidity and the flowing of the Holy Ghost in their lives. If you've got trash in your life, it's a problem for the Holy Ghost to flow through you. It's like a pump. If there's trash in the pump, it can't pump the water or the fluid as well as it needs to be pumped. You have filters on everything. Why? They want to keep the machine from getting clogged up. So they put a filter. And when the filter gets clogged up, you either clean the filter or replace it. That's why we preach sanctification. That's the filter. That's what keeps the trash out of your life. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Sanctification's like an oil filter. It keeps the trash out of your life. I misquoted that. Forgive me. I misquoted two scriptures today. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Sanctification is what makes you holy. The Greek word is hagios. It means to be set apart, to be separated. When you're separated, you stay clean. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's another subject that's not preached on anymore today. But without holiness, Paul said, in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Prayer and fasting helps to keep you sanctified. It keeps your thoughts pure, your motives. It keeps everything about your life in order. Prayer and fasting deters sin. We've witnessed in the last several months men who lack discernment, spiritual leadership, spiritual guidance, and they are quick to shoot off their mouth and to say this and to do that, and then they create a massive storm because they're not sanctified, they're not fasting, they're not praying. I get letters every week. Let me retract that, not every week, every month. Pastor, it's hard for me to fast. You heard me say yesterday, I don't expect you to do what I do. Some of you are diabetics. It's almost impossible to fast. But God is not a hard taskmaster. He will honor that which you do. People say, I'm going to fast television. That's the most asinine statement I've ever heard. Fasting has to do with eating. Jesus had no television to fast. Daniel had no television to fast. I heard a preacher say the other day, a Jesus fast. I said, a Jesus fast? He said, yeah. Doing without things Jesus did without, such as internet, television. I'm thinking, man, your theology is so skewed. Every man, woman that fasted in the Old Testament, that none of them had internet, none of them had television, but they all had plenty of food. Well, sometimes they had famine and did not, but my point is, fasting is about not eating. And yet they come up with all of these political, glamorous ways to never to deny the flesh. These men didn't have internet, television, telephones. They had none of those things to fast. This is how cynical the church has become. It's the most asinine thing I've ever witnessed in my life. And you know, I'm telling you the truth, you don't hear preachers preach on prayer and fasting anymore. In 2 Corinthians 11:27, Paul said he was in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, meaning he stayed up all night watching and praying, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You see, fasting is a deliberate choice to not eat. It's a deliberate choice to not eat any food. And they're all different types of fast. I've probably done them all. I don't say that arrogantly, but I've probably done them all, from the Daniel fast to juice fast to water fast. I tried. That was the hardest fast, believe it or not, was the 3 days without eating or drinking. The Esther fast. That was the hardest fast for me. Before I could finish the 3 days, I was so dehydrated, I said, God, I got to have a sup of water. Kind of thought about Lazarus and the rich man in hell. He said, let him just take his finger and dip it in water and touch my tongue. I was so dry, and I drank less than a quarter of a cup of water. And I thought about the rich man. He said, just let him dip his finger in water and touch the tip of my tongue. I am tormented in these flames. We don't realize the severity of sin and how damning and destructive it is in this hour. And the only thing that's going to change any portion of this nation and its leadership is through the people of God starting to fast and pray. God did not deliver Israel from Egypt's bondage until their afflictions became so adversarial, they began to cry out to God, and God said to Moses, I've heard my people's cry, go and deliver them. We're not there yet. No, sir, we're not there yet. No. We're not there yet. God said, I've heard their cry. You'll read this in Exodus 3. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, if you look at that correctly in its context, we're not there yet, because in Matthew 24, verse 8, Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. What are those things? Wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, famines, earthquakes in diverse places. All of this is going to ratchet up. And like Israel, when he said, I've heard their cry, and the reason is because of their taskmasters, I know their sorrows, and I've come now to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them into the promised land, which he had promised Abraham. So it takes prayer and fasting to change the environment, spiritually speaking. Now, I watched last week as Mitt Romney eviscerated Donald Trump, talked about him like a dirtbag, but did he talk to Obama like that? No, sir. You remember John McCain defended Obama when the woman jerked the microphone out of his hand and said, he's a Muslim. He jerked the mic back out of her hand and said, no, he's not. He's a good man. You've got to understand, these people live in a world of darkness. John 3:19, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They're evil as hell. Hell itself, that's how these men are evil. That's why they can look at you, look on national television, Bill Clinton, point that bony, ugly-looking finger in our face and say, I did not have sex with that woman. Do you hear me? Just chastise us, dress us down, make us think we're idiots. Then when he's finally exposed, I had an inappropriate relationship. You liar. Hillary Clinton was asked, you ever lied to the people? Why, I try to tell the truth. Liar, you don't try to tell the truth. You either tell it or you don't. Like a three-year-old. Got chocolate chips all over his face. You say, son, you been in the cookie jar? No, sir. No, daddy. No, mommy. I not been in no cookie jar. Chocolate chips all over their face. Where'd that lying spirit come from? Came from mom and daddy. Came out of their loins. They just passed that Adamic nature right on down to their child. Now it's your job to teach them how to tell the truth. Well, let me share something with you right quick. I'm supposed to dedicate 8 babies in Dallas in the Hear the Watchman conference so far on Sunday morning. 8 babies. I went to numerous bookstores. Now listen to me. I went to, I don't know how many bookstores, I could not find baby dedication certificates. Every time we got back in the car, I said to my wife, it just dawned on me. She said, what? I said, parents no longer dedicate their children to the Lord. I had to go online and find Warner Press, and I ordered 50 certificates just so I would have some extra ones. And I said to my wife, I said, we dedicated all 4 of our children. I would always bring in another minister or pastor. My dad dedicated my last son, Linton. But I always brought in ministers, and my wife and I would make the vow. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. I promised to nurture the child, teach the child the ways, the precepts, the commandments of God, and at an early age, lead them to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hannah dedicated Samuel back to God. Jesus was brought to the temple by Mary and Joseph. Simeon lifted him up, dedicated him to God, etc., etc. Actually, Zechariah did it, but that's a moot point here now. Not Zechariah. He was through with his service. Excuse me. His time had expired. But what I want you to see is that I couldn't find child dedication certificates. I couldn't find them. And I said, that tells me parents no longer care about dedicating their kids to the Lord. They just don't care. It doesn't mean anything. But I witnessed as Mitt Romney, eviscerated Donald Trump because he's a threat to the establishment. Now, I'm looking for something bizarre, something mind-boggling, something unsettling. I'm looking for some aberration, some anomaly to take place in this political arena this year. What, when, where, how, I don't know. But I just sense in my heart and my spirit something is terribly wrong. It's not right. It's like this is a joke. This is a fiasco. It's almost like a game. I don't know how to explain myself. But don't get in the establishment, or let me better say it, don't get in the way of the devil. He'll kill you. Don't get in the way of the New World Order. They'll kill you. Poor old Jeb Bush, he said, my dad's the greatest man I know. His dad was one of the first persons to begin to gender and foster the New World Order. These men are of the Illuminati. They have rituals, rites, vows. People try to tell me all the time, the Masonic Lodge, Masons are good people. You don't understand Masonry. Get you a book on somebody that's written a book that's come out of it and read it. You make a vow to the God of this world, not the God of Abraham, but the God of this world. And the God of this world is Satan. Go back and study Albert Pike. And Albert Pike said there would be three world wars. And the last world war would be the Muslims, Jews, and Christians fighting each other. We're on the precipice of all of these religions in a war. Look how Obama has treated Benjamin Netanyahu with disdain, absolute contempt. If he was a Christian, most Christians have an affinity with Israel. Israel is blind. Romans 11:25, blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They're blind. They're blind for your sake. And yet some of you out there, you hate them, you loathe them, you despise them. You don't understand your Bible. You listen to these idiots who are anti-Semitic. I thought Jesus said, love your brother. Pray for your enemies. I never seen such a time when there's such scriptural violation of just everything I read in my Bible is violated. I mean, they can't even follow the Matthew 18. If you got a problem with your brother, go to him privately. No, they take it to the radio waves. They take it to the internet. They don't even live the fundamentals of meekness and mercy and grace and forgiveness and doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally unto all men. I've never seen such a lack of wisdom in people's lives. Never seen so many people. Their agenda is to kill, steal, and destroy. They are not spiritually led by the Holy Ghost. They have an agenda. They're not fasting. They're not praying. Because the fruit of their life and the fruit of what is manifest is not of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you to cover yourself in prayer and fasting. I'm telling you to stay in the Word of God. You study the Word of God. I mean, you study it. But see, I know you don't study it. You spend more time on the internet than you spend in the Bible. I know what I'm talking about. I can tell by letters, by emails, where you spend your time. I'm no rocket scientist, but I can tell the shallowness by the verbiage. You're not in the Word of God. Men who call themselves preachers are not in the Word of God. I heard a lady the other day in a pulpit say, I swear to God. Well, she violated the Word of God. Matthew 5:34. But I say unto you, Jesus said this, swear not at all. It just shows me how shallow, but they will tell you, oh, I'm spiritual, I know my Bible. Well, you don't know Matthew 5:34, because you're out here running around swearing. It's amazing. There are things I just refuse to do. I don't go to movies, 61 years old. I haven't set foot in a movie theater since 1977. Don't intend to. I don't have Showtime, Cinemax, HBO. I have none of that stuff. Don't want it in my house. I'm like David. He said, I've set no wicked thing before my eyes. You see, prayer and fasting will get that stuff out of your life. You don't need that mess. Marriages, that's why they're destroyed. I had no idea up until the last 3 to 5 years how many men were involved in pornography. I had no idea until I got all these letters, all these emails. Somebody gave a statistic not too long ago, how many pastors were involved in pornography, how many men in church congregations are involved in pornography. Sir, God gave you a wife. That's why he gave you a wife. You don't have to have pornography. God gave you a wife. And you're to nurture her and to love her and to help her and to honor her, because Peter said she's the weaker vessel. Until we start fasting and praying, we're going to continue to get so much wrong. I'm telling you, you're going to keep getting stuff wrong, 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 wrong. Why? James 4:6, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What does prayer and fasting do to a man or a woman? It humbles them. It humbles them. I'm so sick and tired of these lying bloggers, so-called radio talk show hosts. This is not a talk show. This is the Word of God ministry. That's why I don't take phone calls. I don't interview guests. Thank God of men who have me on their programs, but I'm a Bible preacher. I want to cultivate your life into a deeper spiritual walk with God and challenge you. Challenge you. You're not being challenged, but you need to be. Jesus challenged his disciples. God bless you. I'll see you Monday. And the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.